All right, Jude 11. Let's look there at Jude 11. And then we'll go over and look at other places in the Scripture, spend a little time over in Genesis and Numbers, and that'll be all this morning. I'll look at their time. And just don't forget, we got prayer back behind us this morning outside here. Beautiful morning for that. It was around 60 degrees when I got up, and I'm sure if you got up and got stirring this morning, you noticed it was a little coolness in the air. I won't call it crisp. It wasn't quite that cool, but it was a change from what we've had. Just a beautiful day. It's supposed to be that way again tonight, actually even upper 50s. So if you're an early bird and enjoy the mornings, get up and enjoy some of that. And so we'll get them out there and get them praying here so we won't forget that and try to get started right at 11. Speaking of 11, let's start at verse number 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah, or in rebellion. These are spots in your feast of charity. They feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And we'll stop reading right there, verses 11 through 13. Verse number 11 is where we'll look and spend our time and say, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. And we think when we look at that and read them, that's apostates. That's what I think of. Apostasy, falling away from the things of God, following false doctrine, not the truth. And as you read here and go back over into Jude, of course we see verse number 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. As you go back and read Jude, of course, a very short book, just 25 verses, I used to think, as I looked in Jude, and again, it's right before Revelation, and I guess somehow I always just tied those two together in a way, that Jude was something we were looking downstream at. In other words, we were looking into the future at. Well, that's no longer the case. Jude, we're here, and it might have been the case back in when it was written as well. But I especially think that reading Jude today is more applicable. And of course, I didn't live back then, but to me it's more applicable now than what it would have been when it was written. Of course, like I said, I wasn't there then. I'm just thinking about what we see just in our lifetime and how the world has changed and how the church has changed and not the church per se, here, but just church in general, the way it's perceived worldwide now, and what the word church sometimes represents compared to what it might have been 50, 60 years ago. You know, even in the simplest terms, when we talk about church, I remember I used to tell you that even riding our bicycles, there was a street that went by the church, and in very little traffic. It was called Moody Street. Believe it or not, we had Moody's back in West Tennessee. I've told them before, they've just taken over these Moody's. Everywhere you go, there's Moody's. In Texas, there were Moody's. In Maryland, there were Moody's. I tell you, that must have been like Smith, or Moody's was a big family. They must have rented them a ship in England, the whole family did, and came over at one time. And I kid around about that all the time, because people talk about Smith, and I'll say, I've met more Moody's than I have Smiths. But I say that because it was Moody Street, and it ran next to the church. And my brother and I, even with our bicycles, you know where I'm going with this, we wouldn't even hardly get over in the church parking lot because that was the church parking lot. And you had respect for things of the church. And you definitely didn't go over and lean your bicycles up against the church. Somebody done that before. My brother and I, I wouldn't do that. I'd get in trouble. You know, we were just 6, 7 years old then. And just you didn't do that, you know. You'd lay them on the ground if you wanted to take a break or find a stop sign or something. You didn't do that. So things have changed around the church, and I think about when we look at Jude, it was prophesying that or predicting that, or some of that was already occurring as you read this. It's in, I guess, the present tense, but it applies present tense again today. So what I want to do, look at verse number 11, is take each one of these and, you know, look at the way of Cain and look at the error of Balaam and look at Korah and just see how that applies to our life today and what we see just in our nation. So I'm gonna make sure if we go back to Jude, I can find it really quick. But woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, perished in the gainsaying of Korah. So let's go over to Genesis chapter 4, if you would, and we'll read a few verses there. We'll look at the way of Cain. And then what this represents is had a belief in God, and we talked about Cain and Abel not long ago, but had a belief in God, had religion, but wanted to do things man's way, not God's way. And I made a little list here. I said chapter 4. Yeah, and I was right. Chapter 4, verse number 1. We'll just read verses 1 through 9. But before I do, think about this, and I may be off a little bit on this list. This is just something I had come up with and thinking about. The way of Cain, believed in God, believed in religion, so to speak, put quotes around that, but did not want God's way, but wanted man's way. And I wrote a few things down. If you think about that, it'd be what you'd think would be liberal, and not talking about politics, but liberal in their spiritually thinking. And that might apply to other situations as well, but, you know, just anything goes type attitude, I guess. You might see in the church a modernist. You might see Pharisees. I thought about that. Would have fallen under this. They believed in God but didn't know God. They wanted to do things man's way. I made another one. I can't even hardly read my handwriting. Oh, the rich young ruler. We see in the New Testament. Would have fallen under this category, I think. And some of these you may disagree with. And some you may not. But before we get in and read that, think about Nicodemus. Cornelius, they come to mind as doing things God's way, wanting to know God's way, wanting to know the right way. What's the right path? How do I get saved? And so what we've seen in the way of Cain, I think you can apply to today too as far as, religion in the world, churches, and when I mention churches, I'm just speaking generically, that fall under that term of churches. So let's look here and see. With Cain. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, "Have I gotten a man from the Lord?" She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance failed. Cain was angry. And the Lord said unto Cain, "Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen?" Again, we had that, two or three Sundays ago, we talked about Cain and Abel. Said, but verse number 7 said, "If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door, and to thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Of course, you go on and read there. It said, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. It came to pass that when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. The Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" And of course, Cain slew Abel. And he didn't want to follow God's way and God's plan. See, Abel did. And he followed at God's instructions of sacrifice and what to offer. And you go back and look at Cain. Cain offered a sacrifice, but it was of his own hands and of the fruits of the field. And Cain wanted it done his way. He got angry over it. It didn't go his way. He got angry at his brother. Of course, slew his brother Abel. That's the first recording of a murder we see in the Scripture. Now, way of Cain is described over in Jude. In other words, there's a whole lot of people today, and I believe this too, have gone that way. Not necessarily murder, so to speak, but they've gone the way of, oh, well, That teaching of the Scripture or that preaching, it doesn't line up with what I think is right. See a lot of eyes in that. I think this applies, or I think this is right. This is what we'll do. This is what I'll do. This is what my family and I'll do. In other words, you think about how the gospel's been watered down. It has over time. You don't get the same preaching that you did years ago. I recall in that little church down below the house, if we were acting up in the back a lot of times, even the preaching, or when the preacher would get loud and get stern, he wasn't even talking. He was preaching to us, but what I mean, he wasn't like he was getting on to us, tell us boys to settle down or whatever. But just the power of the Word of God going out, we knew to straighten up. In other words, we were afraid to move sometimes. You were. You remember how that was in your churches growing up. You just somebody go to testifying or a witness in the choir. Boy, it's like you froze. Something came over. You didn't move. It wasn't a lot of running in and out and back and forth. You sat there. And I recall that. Now I know sometimes we have to get up and have to do this or that. And I mean, that's understandable. But I just, I don't want to use the word feeling. That's the wrong word. But just the atmosphere in a lot of churches has changed. Again, we're fortunate here to have the preaching that we do and have the fellowship that we do with each other. You don't have that everywhere that you go. And it's not received well. So something has changed, but God hasn't changed. You think about that. The Scripture hadn't changed. The Bible hadn't changed. Brother John, I'll mention this again because he's mentioned it. And I think about this a lot as other churches meet across this land. Well, if they're using a KJV Bible and they're standing up to preach, well, that's the same word that Pastor Rick used today. That hasn't changed. What will change is the people or the atmosphere that they're around. So the way of Cain, have they gone a different direction? Have people erred gotten off the old paths? They've tried to find a new path. But again, the same way with Cain, that was Cain's, I guess, jealousy. Or Cain's selfishness, wanting his approval of what he'd done. And he was jealous when his brother got his. And of course, so going the way of Cain, having a religion and believing in God, but at the same time wanting it man's way. And that's why I jotted down a few, classifications, we would say, that fit under that umbrella today. They want it their way, and they'll believe in God. But at the same time, they don't trust in God to lead them or direct them, or they don't want really anything to do with God. You know, Pastor mentioned, 9/11. Maybe this was last Sunday he mentioned this, and I'd forgotten all about it. He said it was okay to pray for about 2 weeks. See, and that was a lot of that same group that, we believe in God. But then we don't want any prayer past they didn't really set a certain date, but all of a sudden they quit talking about it. It's almost as if, that's enough of that. You know, just like they stopped showing anything on TV about the towers being hit. No, we don't want to get anybody, fired up against other nations or other people or other religions. Said, we don't want to do that. Said, even though they attacked us and it's a false religion, we still don't want to stir anything up. So you've gone the way of Cain. So think about that as we look. So let's go over to Numbers, or you don't have to. I can read it to you as well. We get over there. We'll stay in Numbers for a couple times because with old Balaam here, what you run across is the way of Balaam and the doctrine of Balaam. And let's see here. Numbers 24. Be the way of Balaam. And this kind of ties right in. You know, you think when Jude, and with verse 11, the way that was written, it was way of Cain, way of Balaam. We think of way of Balaam. Yeah, chapter 24 of Numbers, verse number 10. I've always thought about that's a hired preacher. In other words, hired to preach what you or the church wanted you to preach, or the deacons want you to preach, or the trustees or whoever it is. In other words, there to make money. You're there to bring in the people, bring in the crowd, increase the offerings, and do what the church wants you to do, because it's more about the social gospel and the feeling good when you leave than talking about sin and salvation. So I think about that, and I think about the way of Balaam. Now, when you say that's me thinking if that's a hired gun, so to speak. You know, back in the old Western days, they had the hired gun. Well, that's what the way of Balaam, that hired preacher, hired man. 24, not following the will of God. So see, that lines up really with the way of Cain. Got a belief in a religion. You believe in God, but you don't follow after God. You're not saved. You want to do it your way. You want to do it man's way. So as we look here, and that's verse number 10, and Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam. And he smote his hands together, and Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies. See, that's that hired gun. So I called you for a reason. And behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor. In other words, that's your reward for doing what I wanted you to do. In other words, I thought I'd bought a religion. Really, that's what they thought. But in the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. But lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. And Balaam said unto Balak, spake I not also to thy messengers which thou sentest unto me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord. So see, as you look at that, Balaam believed in God. And evidently Balak did too. And you know, you think about how much pride that has to be there in those two men to believe in God, to know that. Balaam's even saying here, said, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad in my own mind. He says, but what the Lord saith, that will I speak. But still turns around and does evil. He and Balak both. And wanted him to curse the children of Israel. So see, and that's why I think in Jude we get those warnings of looking out for these apostates, these false teachers and preachers and these false religions. I think that theme is all in Jude. Is beware of that as we're in this world. And what the church, per se, the church here, our local assembly, and others across the land, we've mentioned, it's trying to preach the gospel, trying to get the word out to neighboring communities, wherever they're at, helping missionaries around the world, to beware of these. Because see, as they first come in, as you run across Balaam, I don't know, he may have seemed like a religious man when you first met him. He evidently had the children of Israel fooled, at least for a while. And in verse number 14, it said, and now behold, I go unto my people, come therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. As you go through and you read that and you see, you'll see how Balaam and Balak eventually get Israel over into idol worship. But that's still what a lot of people would say, well, that's a religion. You know, today, if you go down on any type of, we're just redoing these, that's why it's fresh on my mind, you know, check boxes. Of course, it always tells you you don't have to check them, but it asks you when you apply for a job or at work or whatever, and, you know, I guess they update their files occasionally. You know, you don't have to check under religion, but they'll have religion, well, they'll have several things listed, you know. And Baptist or Presbyterian or, you know, whatever it may be, and you check it. Of course, it's optional. You don't have to do that. But I guess I always wondered, I thought, why would they want to keep that on file? And I used to think, I'm going to check Baptist every time. You know, you check that. And then you get to thinking sometimes, another fellow brought this out. He said, what if one day they decided that all the right-wing radicals, so to speak, or all the radicals in this country were all Baptists and Presbyterians. I'm just taking it for example. Well, they go back through their files and say, right here, somebody's identified themselves as both. Now, he may be thinking way out there, you know. Now, he may have like a cellar dug at his house and ammunition in there and food and everything. I don't know. But I worked with a guy one time. He was always asking people how you would demolish a bridge. And I always thought that was odd. And he said, well, that way, see, if things go real bad, he said, I'll just blow up the bridge up to my place. And anyway, that was years ago. I'm talking, I'm going back. I just moved to Johnson City then. I thought, where have I moved to? You know, I've lived down here a year, and I got to working with this fellow's wanting to blow up a bridge outside his house. But what I'm saying is a lot of people are becoming more cautious of that now, of who you identify with. And see, the way of Balaam's, Israel began to identify with idol worship. Of course, we know Israelites got in trouble for that. And, of course, they mixed with other peoples, the Gentiles, and married into their families, and the women and the men, and caused problems for them because God told them not to do that. But it all started with two men. and a false religion. And you think about that, a way of Cain. They knew there was, they're right here in the Bible, it tells us they talk about the Lord. So they had to believe in God. They must not have believed in his almighty power and his deity. Let's look here as you over in Numbers. Go over to chapter number 31 with me, and I've probably already got ahead of myself there talking about that. But we'll talk about the false teaching, the immorality. This is more the doctrine. This is more mixed with the world. See, this is applicable, just like we talked about. There's different religions now, and what they preach, and they've watered down the gospel, or they don't even preach the gospel. It's more of a social gospel. Well, think about the doctrine of Balaam. Mixing with the world is what I think about. It's okay to get out there with the world, and we want to get more members in the church, so we need to blend in with them. And you hear that a lot. I'm not saying that's what we do, but you know that's what you hear. And I know Pastor was talking about years ago, back in the 70s and 80s, you know, they'd put people on buses, clowns on buses, and they'd give you out ice cream. Somebody else give you two ice creams. Somebody just to get the numbers into the church. And so that was a lot of your independent Baptists and missionary Baptists doing that. And I remember growing up through that and doing everything at all costs just to get somebody in the door. Not necessarily praying for the lost or inviting lost in, but trying to look at numbers and God not being those. And you can, as you look at the way of Cain, the way of Balaam and the doctrine, and, you know, you can look and see what they've done. Like I said, with the doctrine of Balaam, you think about mixing with the world. But as you think about that just over the last 20 years, 30 years, there's a lot that could fall under that as far as mixing with the world goes. You know, I've told you the story before, and I'll just tell it real quick here. There was a time, and I mean, I was a boy. I went to church with this other guy, and he was the one that sung real deep. See, I'd go everywhere with him because they thought we were like a duet or something, you know. Because he could sing so deep, you know, and I just wouldn't nothing come out of my mouth, and they'd think I was singing with him. I mean, he was that good. There was a group called the Florida Boys or something at one time, sung gospel. Well, he sung with them some. So, you know, anytime I got a chance to ride with him, and you know, I'd mime right along, you know. And, of course, I guess, like I said, they'd wonder what happened when he wasn't around. I'd just stand there. But he and I were at a church where his dad pastored. And there was a big argument over in the church. I mean, it didn't cause a split or anything, but whether to get air conditioning or not. And we laugh about that today. But they were concerned that you'd be mixing with the world more, becoming more world-like. And it was older men in the church, older women, who were concerned, well, if we get too comfortable in these pews, are we going to be thinking more about the temperature, I remember them saying that, than we are what the preacher's preaching. And you say, oh, you're saying turn the air conditioner off. No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm just saying that over time, as the churches have changed and evolved, not with the world, so to speak, but we've had to be careful not to mix with the world. And that's what these, as I'm older, I see now what these men and women, it wasn't per se that they were actually anti-air conditioner. So they probably had it in their homes and in their cars. And well, this was the mid-70s, so they may not have, but anyway, it was getting close. And they were more concerned about conforming to the world. So as I see that now, that we used to get tickled, he and I would, on the way home, that, oh, they don't want any cold air. Well, again, as you get older and you see, you said, they were just, they didn't want that to lead to something else, and to something else, and the scriptures being changed, NIV or something coming in. They were trying to keep that out. And so I think about that every time I think about mixing with the world. I think about that air conditioner example they would use. But let's look here and see. Now, I'll move on. Yeah, and we'll get one more place and we'll be done. Numbers 31, and like I said, we've covered that. I went too far. Verses 16, 15, and we'll go to 16. It said, and Moses said unto them, have you saved all the women alive? And behold, these caused the children of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. There was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. In other words, the Lord judged the Israelites. But it all goes back to the counsel or advice they got from Balaam. You know, receiving bad counsel sometimes, if it's not of the Lord, leads you down the wrong path. And I think that's what happens a lot of times with our young people in this world. they receive counsel more from the world than they do from God or from the people they need to be seeking counsel from that might have their best interest in heart at heart. They seek it from the world and think that they're all in for them. In actuality, that's not the case. They're in for what they can get for themselves. Kind of like Balak. You know, he wanted what Balaam could do to curse the children of Israel and how he could benefit from that. And, of course, Balaam was going to benefit as well. So now, therefore, kill every male among the little ones and kill every woman that hath known man by lying with him. But all the women and children that have not known a man by lying with him, keep alive for yourselves. As you go through there, it's the Midianites being conquered. And as we look there in Numbers 31. So one more place we'll look, and that's the gainsaying of Korah. That's open rebellion. That happens to be in Numbers as well. You flip back a few pages to chapter 16. And this is just open rebellion against the things of God. We looked at just a belief in God, had their own religion, but didn't want to follow the ways of God, but knew there was a God. And you've run across people like that, run across others that would had a belief in God, or, but not really religion, but cursed the things of God, immorality, they just go along, get along with the world. And then last but not least here, and we actually read a lot and turn to Romans if we wanted to, especially in those first couple of chapters, about just open rebellion against God, the things of God, and knowing that there's a God, but still rebel. So 16, verse number, let's look at verse number 31, 32. So again, this is an example where they didn't recognize, of course, Moses and Aaron as the appointed leaders of God. So just total disrespect and disregard for the things of God. Let's see here. Verse number 30. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then shall he understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as they made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. In other words, completely destroyed them. Sucked them up, so to speak. You know, we think about these sinkholes and how they just disappear, people do. You know, that was a sad case a few years ago. It might have been 10 years ago now. It just seems like it's just two or three, but longer. Remember, the guy was in his bedroom, in his bed. Remember, the sinkhole opened up? Never found him. I think I was down in Florida somewhere. That made national news. Remember, they looked for him 2 or 3 days, and they said, you know, there were ledges and things on the way down in that hole that they hoped that, you know, he'd fallen on or the bed had fallen on. But as far as the hole went, remember, they quit looking. They basically, I know I'm sure there was a bottom to it, but it was farther than they could go. And finally they just said, you know, he's lost. We don't know where he is. Maybe there's been another cave in. Maybe it's covered up his body. They never found him. So I think about that. When that happened, I thought about this in Scripture as well, how when the Lord opened up his hole here, it only took these men. It took their families. It took everything. All their goods, it all disappeared, swallowed it up. And as you read here in Scripture, and as Jude is a warning, they didn't recognize God's appointed leaders, Moses and Aaron. They wanted to do their own thing. They wanted to go their own way. And so as we look back at Jude and think about apostates in this day and age and the falling away of the church or the people, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. In other words, look out for them. Woe unto them. Trouble to them. Judgment to them. In the way of Cain, they ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. In other words, trying to make money off the church or off religion, or trying to make money off anybody else that somebody's for themselves off somebody else's expense for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. In other words, they'll perish in open rebellion. They're against the things of God. And like I said, you can go back and read over in Romans chapter 1, chapter 2, and you can see that, where that occurs. And so this morning, as you look at Jude, and I always like to read, of course, here at the end of Jude, and it's always ends on a positive note. So you start out in the beginning, you're thinking, oh boy, said we've got these warnings, and that's why I read that at the beginning. Said, look who we've got creeping in unaware, and woe unto them, and verse number 11, as we talked about, and verse number 12, these are spots and raging waves. And as you look through here, you, It's like red signs or red lights popping up all the way, saying warning, warning, warning. But you get down to the end, said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise. See, I find that as you look here, see, a lot of these, decisions or judgments man made, Cain made, Balaam made, Balak made, the Israelites made. It was all about themselves. They didn't follow after God's wisdom. They followed after man's wisdom. And he said, but that's how we conclude here in Jude. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty. And if you notice that, to the only wise God, only wise God. So Jude spends a lot of time there about these false idols. You say, well, I don't see it written in there anywhere. When you look at the examples that were given in Jude, that's what we're warned of, not mixing with the world, not following after false idols. So the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen. Jude wraps it up. Jude is, like, to me, like James in a lot of ways. You can read it, go back through it, read it again. Pick up the warnings and distinctions for the church, but also down where we're living too, as Christians. So we're right on time today. I've been trying to do a little better with that, and thank you for your attention. And I'll have ask the preacher. I won't have him, but I'll ask the preacher, and we'll try to get the air conditioner cut off and get the windows open if we can, and see if we can't set in here today. And anyway, I say that, but again, I hope you see where I was going with that. I wasn't anti-air conditioning. I was using that as an example. But y'all have time to fellowship and mingle. And here in a few minutes, the men, they'll meet out here. They've been going out to the door to my right is where they've been going out and meeting with and to have prayer. Thank you.